All right, well, good morning, Mansfield Christian Church. As you guys know, we've been in this series looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and it's been good, but I think this week, just with the passing of Peter, it's only fitting that we step away for a week and look at something that God had placed on my heart to preach this morning. And so I'll preface this by saying it may be a little shorter. My message might not be quite as long as the other messages that I normally preach because really I worked on this for a few hours yesterday. When I got the text Friday night from Dot and then Saturday morning I found that he'd actually passed away, I just put the sermon that I already had prepared to the side and worked on this. And so that's what I'm going to bring today. It may be a little rough. It may be a little uncharacteristic of what I normally preach, but I think it's fitting, and it's where the Holy Spirit's led me this morning. And so I want to start with a question. You guys know I love to ask questions and to make you think. So has there ever been something in your life that you've hoped for? Like, have you ever legitimately had something that you just really hoped would happen? I don't know about you. I know Wayne will agree to this, but on deer season, there's always that hope that opening day you can fill your tag and there's no more time of sitting in the cold. Or maybe you applied for a job and you hope that you get that call that you have been given the position. Or maybe you're like me, a student at a college, and you spend ridiculous amount of hours working on an assignment, and you click that submit button, and you're hoping for a good grade to help you get through the semester. But I think hope in itself is something that we all long for, and I think it's clear throughout Scripture. I think it's a clear evidence. It's one of the threads that holds our faith together. But I think to begin to kind of set this up first, we should understand what God thinks about us so then we can understand the hope that we can place in Jesus, because this restores the image that God has of us. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, if not, I'm going to read it, but we're going to be looking at Genesis 2:31, and it says, God saw that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I make something, I aim for it to be good, but I always think that there's something I could have done better. Like even a really well-prepared sermon that I preached and I feel really good about, and maybe you guys give me some really good feedback, I still feel like maybe I could have tweaked it here or changed it here to make it a little bit better. Or maybe a paper that I turned in that I got 100 on, and I'm like, man, I still could have done this a little bit better. But clearly we see that when God created us, it was good. It was perfect in his eyes. We are perfect in the eyes of God. There was nothing that God thought he could change when he created us. There was no little blemish that he said was not worthy of his glory. There was no little mistake. Everything he made was good in his eyes. And so that's the first glimpse of hope, right, in our relationship, is that we're perfect in the eyes of our Creator. That's the first glimpse that we get into this idea of Jesus, because if we're perfect in the eyes of our Creator, then surely the living sacrifice that he sent for us must also be perfect, must also be good. And so as we kind of walk through this morning, I just kind of want to look at a couple of what the apostles have to say about hope, about this hope that we can have in Jesus. And I think there's no place better to begin than Acts 2, and we'll look at what Peter has to say about hope. Now, I think it's only fitting that we give a little backstory on Peter, because Peter's the one that denies Jesus. In the garden, he denies God. But yet, on the day of Pentecost, the first sermon after Christ's death and resurrection, who is it giving the message on hope? It's Peter. John Stott actually calls Peter Doubting Peter. He actually calls a few of the apostles doubting apostles. You know, Thomas and Peter. But Peter's a big one, right? Because he's with Jesus through the life of Jesus, and yet he still denies him. And yet on the day of Pentecost, the first sermon after the death and resurrection of Jesus to the new church, Peter is addressing the crowd on the hope that we can have in Jesus that has just resurrected. He says, starting in verse 17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." There's a lot to digest there. We get some talks about prophecy in the beginning, and that's important, but I don't think that's where we kind of should look at today, at least for this first kind of expository look. I think that this idea of hope can really be found in verse 21. I'll read it again. "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the idea, the guiding principle of hope for our faith. Because it gives us this idea that if we call on Jesus, if we dedicate our lives to Jesus, we will one day be saved and have the opportunity to go to heaven. We'll have the opportunity to again be looked at as good in the eyes of God. There will be no more separation like we see after the fall in Genesis 3. Keep in mind, it's just one chapter after God says we are good that we disobey Him and fall away. It's just a half a page of reading, and God, everything's great in the kingdom, and God's saying, man, my creation is so good that we decide to go eat some fruit that God specifically told us not to do, and we fall away from the grace. And Peter's saying, simply, all you have to do is believe and call on the name of God, and you will be saved. We'll return to that position prior to Genesis 3, where we are good in the eyes of God. And you know, Peter's one of the guys that we talk about, but what about Paul? Now, we all know the story of Paul. He was a Roman guy, and he was killing Christians and persecuting Christians as Saul, and he has this amazing conversion story on the road to Damascus where he becomes blind, and Christ reveals himself to him, and then he goes out to be a remarkable leader of the church, of the early church. And I really just love this letter of Romans that Paul's written to the church in Rome, and just really touches me in this idea of hope. And so I think verse 12 really is a good, Romans 12:1 is a really good implication of Paul's thoughts on hope in Christ. And he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." See, I think after studying this week that when we put our trust and our hope in Jesus, we're living directly in the center of the will of God. If we're not willing to live our lives in a way that our whole heart is directly centered in Jesus, then we're missing the point, church. God calls us clearly in this passage to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, I don't know if you guys have a crazy conversion story like Paul, and I certainly don't. I've heard from tons of friends and professors that oftentimes it's the fact that maybe you live your life a little bit different that intrigues someone. Maybe it's the fact that you don't spend your money in the way someone else spends it, or maybe it's the way that you raise your children, or maybe it's just the way that you go over and say something nice to your neighbor that's always angry at you. That's the renewing of your mind that Paul's talking about. He's saying when you renew your mind to where you focus on Christ, your life will transform to looking more like Jesus. And if we're saying that our hope for salvation is in Jesus, then how much more better would our lives be if we tried to renew our minds and emulate Him on a daily basis? Because that's where we should be, church. That's where our hope should be, is the fact that Jesus died for us so that we could be more like the creation that God made before we disobeyed and walked away. I was kind of thinking about a good story to kind of close this message out. And like I said in the intro, it's going to be kind of short this morning, but I encourage you to use the extra time today to pray for Peter's family, Questel and Donna and Sheldon and those kids, and maybe shoot them a text message or give them a phone call. Take this extra time to and use it wisely. But I was thinking of a friend of mine that passed away in Afghanistan about 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years ago this past January. And it's a scary moment for me getting that phone call. Now, my friend Ian was a staff sergeant in the United States Army, 25 years old, had deployed to Afghanistan for the third time, and on January 10th of 2020 was killed by a roadside IED. He had two small children here in the States and a wife, and much like I'm sure Questel is feeling right now, his wife was feeling the same thing. And it's a bittersweet moment for me. It's actually, I don't even know if it's really bittersweet. Honestly, I don't know where Ian stood in his faith. And that's hard for me, because to see the devastation in his family was evident that some of them were definitely not believers. Because see, when we have our hope in Jesus, when we have our hope that we're going to be in right relationship with God, death still has a sting, but it comes with promise. The death of the people in our lives come with the promise that we will see them again in heaven. It comes with this hope that everything we're doing here will lead to us again being in relationship with God in heaven, streets of gold. I don't know what heaven's going to look like. I don't know if any of you guys do, but man, you can only imagine if God said that earth was good, how much greater is his throne, the place where he calls his throne, going to be. And so I just want to encourage you guys this week, as we mourn the loss of all of our friends, Peter, and we pray for his family, be filled with hope that one day we're going to get a chance to go to heaven and spend time with him. That one day, Questel and his family is going to rejoin him. That the hope that Peter is already no longer in pain, yet he's spending time dancing and singing praise to our God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to hear your word this morning. I thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus, your son that you sacrificed because you loved us so much that you wanted us to be good, just as the way you intended us to be. We love you and we thank you for all that you do. Please be with Questel and Donna and Peter's family as they navigate these trying times, and help them to just be reminded of the hope that they have in you. It's in your heavenly name I pray. Amen.